We read the scripture earlier from 1 John and also from John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer. Love is where it's at. Let me put this talk we're going to about to have into some context. Living our values is about that, living our values, living it out. We've arranged the values in terms of the big three, faith, hope, love, and four, being a community of historic, the movement historic of Christian faith. And the love category contains, number one, being transformed by God's love. That's the first value. We value transformation, life transformation. We value, we want to experience it ourselves. We want to see it for others. That is the amazing work of the Holy Spirit to transform us, to renew our minds, as Romans 12 says. The second one we visited a few weeks back, that was being grace-filled. That if we are transformed by God's love, it will cause in us grace to be overwhelmed. Grace overwhelmingly flowing out to others. We'll be overwhelmed by God's grace, overwhelmed by God's love, and we will be grace-filled, and it will come out in everything that we do. I think we said, if we don't do something with grace, let's not do it at all. If it's not about grace, if it's not about love, let's not do it. So the first one, transformed. Second, being grace-filled. Thirdly, missional. And here we get to this idea of being sent. So we spent the Sunday connection class time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. this morning, exploring what does it mean to be sent by God? What does it mean to be sent by a body of believers who are discerning together God's will for a particular individual or group or ministry? That's how our church is set up. It's set up in ministry teams that if God puts it on your heart to do something, you pray about it, you get with those other folks that maybe are rallying around this thing, and you come to the leadership team and say, hey, God's doing this thing. And the leadership team will say, okay, how can we support you? So being missional, and we're going to get into this a little bit, means being sent. It's not just the call of God, which the previous value statement did say called. We are called to be. We are sent. We are sent by God day in and day out into this world to be his ambassadors. So I got to go to India in January with Harley Schreck, professor at Bethel. Sociology, anthropology, reconciliation studies. When Harley asked me the second week after becoming pastor here, I think it was second or third week, you want to go to India? I said, yes. And I've been to India many times before, and this was a special, special thing. So let's clap for Harley. Come on up, Harley. So I've asked Harley to come. We're just going to have a dialogue about this whole missions thing. So Harley, you spent the majority of your life teaching and researching. What is it that you would say that you do, though?
Okay. That's a good question. Okay. Well, I'm an anthropologist by training and primarily a researcher. And I've tried to choose research topics that make a difference in people's lives and in community lives.
And that's kind of how your faith plays into what you do.
Right.
Because
right.
Your engaged, your scholarly engagement
right.
is informed by you want to make an impact.
Right, right,
you
right.
Make a difference.
Yeah, it's hopefully it's not just about theory and ideas and things like that, but it's actually about making a change in communities. And so
You definitely demonstrated that on the trip to me. And I loved how when we were there, Harley was engaged directly with Anurag, with Prem, who is the leader of that group. And I just saw you just so engaged and so active. You weren't distant. You weren't on your clipboard, you know, doing check marks and tallying numbers. You weren't. You didn't have your, you know, your microscope and your spectacles on. You were... You're just a regular guy.
Yeah. I felt so bad I left my clipboard behind. And with my pith helmet, too, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we're here today to talk to you all about the value of being missional.
Right.
What is,
right.
First of all, what is that word? But we're going to read the value here. Being missional. Maybe that's a new word to some of you. It's not a new word, but it is actually an old word coming from Latin. We'll explore it here in a little bit. But let's read this together. Because of God's love, we are missional. We are sent into our community to have an impact through sacrificial service and love for our neighbors. Okay. So we are sent into our community to have an impact through sacrificial service and love for our neighbors. Like I said, the word missional is not new. The Latin missio is an old word. Though missions, the word missions, if you search a Bible, you won't find the word missions in the Bible necessarily. What you will see is a word apostolos, which means sent one. The Apostle Paul called himself an apostle. I am one sent by God to the Gentiles, to the nations, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostolos. Apostol can also mean envoy or ambassador. It can mean this idea of representing something bigger than yourself, going out into the world. So when we think of this idea of mission, really is the idea of being sent, and that's what the Latin word literally means. Some tie in this idea that God is sending and continues to send. Trace it all the way back to the 3rd and 4th century, 300s and 400s, with a figure named Augustine, who in his book Confessions, if you haven't read it, definitely read it, he talks about the various ways in which God sends people into his life. His mother, for one, is someone whom he talks about a lot. Her name's Monica. Monica prays for Augustine his entire life that he would be saved. He was this philosopher, this orator, this great thinker. He was rising in the ranks of speakers who would be called from city to city to talk. And Monica continued to pray for Augustine. So there you go. There's probably the start of all this missional stuff. And the mission really is, to be missional means to pray for others. Monica was missional in her approach to her son. She didn't sit around. She didn't fret. She didn't wait for her son to come to the Lord. She prayed. She got on her knees. She prayed fervently. And she even had a hand in putting certain things in his life or helping Augustine focus his ambitions and his talents in certain ways. Other people came into Augustine's life. A great bishop named Ambrose spoke powerfully about the gospel and was very influential in Augustine's life. But there's a point in the Confessions which was really fascinating that I didn't see the first time I read it. He went to a place where there were some monks. And the monks were going about praying and working, as they do. So they're going about and they were praying and working. And their devotion and their dedication to the Lord and their service of him as he was staying at the monastery touched his heart. So there, it was about service. It was about preaching. It was about prayer. And some have tied this idea of missio to Augustine's confession. He was the first one to write it down in such a way that really captivated and grabbed people's hearts. The idea of mission comes from the Latin word missio and dates back to that African theologian. Do you all know Augustine was African? We'll get to Africa here in a little bit. People then who were sent by God and the church to tell the good news about Jesus were then later on called missionaries. But for most of the church's history, mission was just a part of the regular everyday thing. Early missionaries were monks who set up monasteries and served a community in very practical ways through work and prayer. So that's just a really broad overview, maybe not the best overview, but it is a broad overview of this term missio. Missio was a theological outlook, not something you do. And that's kind of where this statement lands. We are sent. It's an outlook. It's something that we are, not something that we do. Mission for the past 200 years has been largely associated with the act of kind of crossing geographical, linguistic, cultural boundaries into unreached peoples. And that's true as well. So, Harley, I probably made a mess of things here. Would you explain what mission is?
I was just going to say all that you said. You know, you should have seen your pastor in India. Paul, you are called. You are called to missions. And there are many times he was asked to come up and share a word without any preparation. And man, did he share a word. It was really amazing. And so I just really want to affirm your call to missions. It's really, really exciting. Yeah. What do I think missions is? Well, I think missions is essentially living out the life of Christ in every place that we are. I think I mentioned earlier, John Stott, a real influential writer, said that mission is whatever the church is called to do when it's called into the world.
Let's say that again.
Yeah, it's whatever the church is called to do, wherever it is.
Whenever. That's great. That puts it much more simply.
He pointed out, Jesus, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus called people to repentance. He evangelized. He called people to a new life and to follow God. Invited people to follow him. He ministered to the poor and sick. So there's a clinic at Anurag, right? Ministered to the poor and sick. He challenged those who oppressed others, so the work of justice. And that's still what we're called to do. And above all, he showed us how to love and to obey the Father. That's mission, wherever we are.
I go back to that assertion that missions is only, so this has been said, missions is only crossing another culture, or missions is only crossing another. Could you make some sense of what is the bearing of culture and language and all of that on missions?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the only way we understand the world around us is through culture. It's our lens. It's how we understand the world. And you really realize that when you're in another place, another culture, and you realize you just see things so differently. And you have to work to figure out how you see each other. So as we go to share Christ, which never changes, God never changes. It's the same Jesus, everywhere we are. What we see in Jesus changes according to our culture and our situation. For example, I was in a small community in Ecuador among Quechua people. Quechua people had been oppressed for 500 years. They're essentially enslaved on haciendas. And there had been an incredible movement to Christ among the Quechua in the mountains of Ecuador and in Peru. And when they talked about Jesus, they talked about Jesus the Liberator. Jesus the Liberator, the one who stood against powers of oppression that brought freedom. Very different than me. I'm middle class. I'm American. What do I need to be liberated from? Well, a lot, really. But from my own selfishness, my own inadequacies, but certainly not politically. And they saw Jesus very differently, and it was just wonderful to share that with them through their culture.
One of the fears that comes because of that is that Americans traveling to other countries will simply perpetuate the oppression in one way or another, and saying, my language is superior,
right.
My way of thinking is superior, my dress is superior. And we've seen that with missionaries over the years, especially. We've seen it. We still see it today. Is it important to cross the pond, so to speak, or to cross those cultural boundaries? Or should we take kind of the Star Trek approach where it's like,
do no evil.
Do no evil. Yeah. Do no harm, right?
Right.
Don't tamper with the culture as it is. But what do you think?
We don't bring Jesus to anybody. Jesus is there, We come along Jesus wherever we go. Come along the side of Jesus and along the side of at the work of God. And I think that we have a role quite often in other cultures, but the real work of God takes place within those cultures, you know. And there's a phrase I've heard one time when someone said, well, Christians brought civilization to the rest of the world. That's just nonsense. You know, civilization and culture has existed in all parts of the world.
Including India.
Yeah. And it's just so exciting for me as someone who's been able to participate in other cultures to see what God is doing. Like in India, for example, at Anurag, I don't know if Mark's here, but we heard a set of testimonies from some women in Anurag that just knocked us down, you know, in terms of what God has been doing in their lives, the oppression he's freed them from. You know, we just come alongside. Yeah.
I think that's a great perspective to have. Again, being missional is about a theological view. It's about an attitude. It's about a lifestyle. It's not what we do, because God is already doing. Mm-hmm. It's God's work that we get to partner in with. And I think that's a great way to put it. Jesus is already there. Mm-hmm. Jesus is already in aspects of the culture, certainly. Other aspects of culture are problematic or difficult or anti-Christ.
Right.
Because culture is essentially human creation. Culture is
It's
built by humans. However, we're all embodied with the image of God, imbued with the image of God.
Yep.
And Christ is there.
Yeah.
I think that's a powerful insight.
Yeah. Thanks.
So what difficulties, Harley, have you experienced in not doing missions, but being missional, missionally oriented as you come alongside others in the work of God in other countries?
Okay. Well, first, let me look at the positive aspects of that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an incredible privilege to be able to interact with and get to know people in other cultures, and especially Christians in other cultures. And I think about, before I came to Bethel, I worked at World Vision for 4 years, and I would, I'd be overseas for 3 weeks and home for 3 weeks and overseas for 3 weeks and home for 3 weeks. And so I got to worship in a lot of different cultures, and that's continued over time. And I always felt like I met heroes everywhere I went. You know, I met heroes who were living lives of such vitality and courage and strength. So I came back just totally excited and filled with grand ideas, most of which I never carried out. but they're good ideas. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of also the flip side of the challenge for me, anyway, of doing missional work or working in other cultures, is it's very easy to always be the outsider, because you are the outsider. You know, I'm a guest in another culture. And it's easy to come back and be a guest in your own culture. You know, so that's a challenge, is you always feel betwixt and between. And I think a lot of people, you know, if Carolyn's here, I'm sure that you've experienced the same thing after coming back from overseas, and, you know, especially your kids, too. You come back to your home culture and you just feel a little bit out of place all the time, because you're not the same person you were before you left. Yeah.
I believe the number that Elam spends to support missionaries is somewhere around $21,000 to $24,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The church in America is spending millions and millions of dollars doing mission work.
Right.
And what has transpired? After all of that effort for us to get on boat, first it was a boat. You put all your belongings in a six-foot-long box, and you shipped with you, and you said, see you later, maybe you in heaven, if not before then.
Mm-hmm.
And missions was this final thing, and then the age of transportation happened, and now we go for 2 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of itinerant things going on. Yeah. Of all the travel and all of the work and all of the language learning and all of the, what has been the effect of missions in the world?
It's really hard to know if it's just due to that, but God has moved throughout the world. God has moved throughout the world in spite of us sometimes. I think St. Thomas got there first, you know, 2,000 years ago in India, you know. Yeah. But when we look at the Christian world today, one sad thing is that we're at about the same percentage Christian today that we were in 1900. Okay? So, but the shape of the Christian world has really changed. It used to be that the Christian world was Europe and North America. That was the center of the Christian world. It's not that way today. Most of the, just some figures here, let's see if I can find it right offhand. In 1910, 93% of all the Christians in the world lived in Europe and North America. 93%. In 2010, 39% of all the Christians in the world lived in Europe and North America. 60% of Christians live in the South and in the East. The center of the Christian world has shifted away from us. And the fastest growing part of the church is found in other areas of the world. Incredible vitality. Unfortunately, our theologians and the powers that be haven't really caught up with that. They still try to control the church from the West. But we're starting to see, you know, Paul knows this better than I do. We're starting to see really incredible theologians from other parts of the world who are finding a voice. Yeah.
Yeah. I took a class on called Global Christianities and explored essentially the Global South and the churches in the Global South. And one of the amazing things that's happening is Christians in Brazil are talking to Christians in South Africa.
Yep.
And Christians in India are talking to Palestinian Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
And Palestinian Christians are talking to folks in Africa and China. And there's all this crosstalk where the academy was this thing where all information sort of flowed from out of Europe and out of North America.
Right.
Now they're having all sorts of discussions without you know, American white guy involved. And that is amazing. Yeah. I love that. I love that God is at work. Mm-hmm. We got to be humble.
That's
We got to have some humility and say, maybe these people in the Global South know a little bit more than we do about some things. And we got to learn from them about what it really takes to live a life, to live the missional life.
Right,
live that out.
And to live it when you're not in the focus, the center of power.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Talk more about power. You had said a statement to me earlier about...
Yeah, yeah. I don't know exactly. I think that... the church grows fastest and best. Well, I think the church grows best when it's not representing power. You know, yeah. You just look at China, for example. Yeah. The China has seen fantastic growth in the among Christians. What, 50 to 70 million is the estimate, right? That's when missionaries been kicked out, when the West has been cut off. It's growth because people are turning to God. You know, from positions of weakness, and we see that. And maybe that's a hope for India too, with the oppression that's taking place. We can just pray for incredible stirring of the Spirit in India at this time period.
I think just in kind of wrapping this up, you know, Northeast Minneapolis is a place that you studied as well, pretty consistently over the decades. What's happening in Northeast?
Well, a lot of things, but it's a very complex place right now, isn't it? I think that I did research on people like myself, older people living in Northeast, and looking at how things have changed. And I think in Northeast we're seeing a real rift, a real kind of a separation between a longer term older residents and newer people who are economically, culturally, lifestyle different. And there's a real challenge to be for the church to try to knit those generations together, to knit those groups together. I think Elam's in a perfect place to do that. We just need to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've looked at kind of broadly, what is mission today? Where was the origins of the word and kind of what has happened over the last 100 so years? Very briefly, we did, that could take an entire semester, of course, class. But then we kind of looked at this question, how do we do mission? That's kind of been the normal way of thinking about mission. Rather, we should think, how are we missional? And this is where this word is instructive for us. How are we being missional? How are we being sent into our world? When we walk out those doors, we are being sent. You and I are being sent. When I'm a soccer dad, been a soccer dad for the last 5 years plus now. I go to a lot of playgrounds. I go to a lot of parks. I sit on the sidelines. But you know who else I sit next to? Parents. Other people who may have never even heard the gospel. Other people who maybe are in a funk with their business, or maybe they're going through bankruptcy, or maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're just fine, but they didn't know about the Lord. And I might be, in that case, being a soccer dad, the only Jesus that person may have ever encountered. So what does it mean to be missional? You don't have to be a missionary in the classical sense, but you already are. You are already sent. You're already being sent. Ephesians 4 communicates that you are all ministers. You are all servants of the Lord God. And wherever you go, to use John Stott's definition, I think that's the one we just stick with that one. Yep. That's a good one. Whenever, wherever, yep. However.
Wherever.
Right? So I think there's steps that we can take in our personal lives, steps that we can take in our small groups perhaps to be missional, to be sent as a small group in a community. That to make an impact. We can be missional in our families. Maybe your family is not Christian. That's a mission field. Maybe the soccer field is where you play sports, your fellow teammates. Maybe you work for a park, or you work in a place where there's a lot of people who come in and out. You have been given everything you need, because the thing you need is inside of you, and that is Jesus Christ. Let's find out where God's at work and join him there.
Amen.
Amen. Harley, thank you for joining me today. Truly insightful, and thankful for your work here at Elam. Thanks. Thank you.